She gritted her teeth. "And if I'd rather die than cooperate with you?"
"Then I'll figure another way to the computer. I have all the time in the world. You, however, have 3 hours."
He chuckled.
"Make that 2 hours and 56 minutes.
"I'll give it some thought." She hurried back to Hart.
Angry flashes of light darted across the computer's monitor. "I wish I were human so I could punch that man in the face."
"Do you think he can do it?" Nissa asked.
"It's feasible. Obviously, he has a hole to pipe gas through now, and the wall between the office and the workshop is pretty much airtight. The one between the office and the lab is just a flimsy divider. Shutting the door between might buy us a little bit of time, but not much."
Nissa nodded, then dove for her tools. She took up a hammer and examined the floorboards for weak spots. "Well, I guess I'd better work fast, then."
"Nis, there's always the option of me giving him what he wants."
She glanced at him. "That's no guarantee. A man like Rivera doesn't leave witnesses."
"Yes, but look, the fact that what is programmed into me is just programming doesn't make it feel any less real. If you die, I don't know how I will process it."
"Well, then we'll figure out a way to keep me alive." She placed her hand on his monitor. The points of light on his screen swarmed to her touch until her fingers glowed. The diamond in her ring sparkled like 1,000 stars. "It doesn't change our plan. It just means we have to work faster. Bring up the house plans again, please." She studied the plans, then paced off to where she thought would be the best place to begin her excavation. Finding the edge of a floorboard, she sank the claw of the hammer into the crack. "Wish I had a crowbar."
"There might be one in the closet near the wash sink," Hart said. "The professor kept a stash of miscellaneous tools, and he sometimes used heavier ones, working on his robots."
Nissa opened the indicated door, and her nose wrinkled.
Cobwebs covered a jumble of broom handles, metal plates, and a rusty upright toolbox nearly as tall as she was. She pulled open the first drawer to find it full of mismatched bolts and screws. The second, however, had a crowbar. Grinning, she returned to her task. The nails screeched as she pried the board up from the floor. Beneath lay a tangle of wires and pipes, too thick to squeeze through.
"Shock me, this is going to be harder than I thought. Are these wires part of your system?"
"No, they aren't in my plans. Perhaps something Rivera did during renovations. I was inactive for much of that."
"I don't want to risk cutting into anything live." She slipped her goggles over her face and turned them to their electromagnetic field detection setting. Some of the wires glowed. "Going to have to be careful going through here. Don't want to fry myself."
Something buzzed next to her heart, and she jumped. Her hand flew into her breast pocket and withdrew the handheld. It vibrated again, light slipping from beneath the lid. Every cell in her body trembling, she flipped it open. The screen blurred with static for a heartbeat, then steadied into a clear but black-and-white image. She fumbled, nearly dropping it, then clutched it closer, bringing the video screen right before her eyes.
"Ellis?"
The face on the screen gaped for a moment, then smiled, his eyes staring at her as if she wasn't quite real.
"Nis, are you all right?"
His voice had a wobbly, underwater quality, but it was still his voice. His beloved voice. She sank to her knees.
I'm fine. Oh, Ellis, I worried I'd never see you again. I tried to call out last night, but I couldn't.
A sob choked her.
I just now got into range. Oh, Nis, you don't know how good it is to see you. Where are you? Are you safe?
Yes and no. For the moment, I'm all right. I'm in Dalhart Manor, in the lab. Rivera's the one who brought me here. It's a long story, but I managed to get myself locked in, and for now he can't get to me.
Ellis beamed.
That's my Nis.
You're in New Torrid, then?
Yes, and I'm coming for you. Just hold on.
You have to hurry. Rivera's run out of patience, and he says he'll pump gas into this room to force me out in a few hours.
Ellis's eyes widened, then his mouth wrinkled into a scowl.
All right. I'll be there before then. I'm working on a plan.
Worry shot through her. Shock me. Ellis is smart, but Rivera is ruthless. Do I really want Ellis going up against him, on his own? Please be careful. I don't know how, but he knows about you. I didn't say anything, but he found out you're alive, and I'm worried what he'll do to you.
That's not really a surprise, unfortunately. When did he find out? In San Azula?
No, it was after he brought me here. Just this morning, in fact. He stormed in, wanting to know what you knew and how you were still alive. I'm not sure how he found out.
Ellis pushed his hair back from his forehead, his thinking tick.
Yeah, that timing confirms something I've been dancing around. Hold on, all right. I wish I could keep you on the line, but there are things I have to do. If you need me, though, call. I'll get you out of this, Nis, one way or another. I love you.
I love you too, Ellis.
The screen flickered out, and the strength drained from Nissa's limbs. She collapsed, hugging herself and sobbing.
Nis, are you okay?
Hart asked. She wiped her eyes, drew several deep breaths, and forced herself to her feet.
Yes. I mean, I will be. I've got a floor to cut through first, though.
I'm going to get back to you, Ellis. Nothing in this world is going to stop me.
Ellis stared at the now blank screen. Turning off the handheld had felt like letting go of a rope and allowing himself to fall.
At least I know she's still alive. I can save her. But if she's right about when Rivera found out about me, I have another, more immediate problem.
Well, what now?
O'Hara sat across the tiny hotel room on the twin bed. The clerk had given them a look when Ellis had checked in, but Ellis was in too much of a hurry to worry about appearances. The detective stood and straightened her hair.
We know where she is, so I can go get her.
Ellis angled away from her, slipping his hand into the space between the arm of his chair and the seat. His heart pounded. His fingers found what they were looking for, and he whipped it out, aiming straight at O'Hara. At the sight of the revolver, O'Hara stumbled backwards, falling onto the mattress.
"Hands where I can see them," Ellis snapped.
She gaped. "Ellis! What? Why?"
"Because when I got to New Torrid, Rivera had no idea that I was even alive. He does now. The fact that he tried to have me killed already had me sure of that. But I was uncertain when and how he found out. If he discovered it just this morning, then there are only two people he could have learned it from. You or Clarence. Of the two, guess who I suspect."
Her mouth opened and closed like a beached fish.
"Yes, but he tried to kill me, too. I was in the car with you, remember?"
"And you were just as surprised by it as I was."
Ellis allowed himself a sardonic smile.
"Didn't realize you were disposable to your employer till just then, I imagine."
Her expression hardened.
"You don't understand."
"Oh, I think I do. Rivera has deep pockets. It's easier to believe he funded your little one-woman manhunt than that you paid for Zeppelin tickets and lodging on a junior detective's salary. So much for justice, huh?" he snorted. "Hope whatever he paid you was worth it."
"It's not like that, exactly." Her cheeks flared red. "Do you know how hard it is to get ahead with everything working against you in life?" "Of course not. You're a spoiled rich kid who's probably never had to lift a finger to get what he wants."
"Yeah, that's me. No idea what it's like to face hardship. In fact, I'm in this chair because I prefer having my servants wheeling me around to actually walking."
Ellis snorted. Her flush deepened.
"All my life, I've only wanted to be a police officer, like my dad. And what do I get for struggling through the catcalls during training and taking the entry exam 3 times because my inspector thought my scores were too high for a woman, so I must be cheating? An unsolvable case for my first assignment, and no help from my fellow officers."
"You're breaking my heart."
Ellis tightened his grip on the weapon. He rolled backwards until his chair blocked the doorway.
"What do I do now? Am I really willing to shoot her?"
"I wasn't going to throw up my hands and cry."
Her face contorted into a fierce grimace, and in spite of her claim to the contrary, something glimmered in the corner of her eye.
"Finally, I got a lead from a vagrant who'd sighted her breaking into an abandoned mansion the day of the murder."
"Dalhart Manor?"
Ellis eased his finger off the trigger, but still held the revolver at ready.
"Yeah. Checking into who owned the mansion led me to the Dalhart disappearances."
She dabbed at her face with her sleeve.
"It bewildered me how no one was looking into it."
Ellis nodded. He needed to get moving, but to do what? Without O'Hara's help getting the police to cooperate, he had no plan.
"What then? How did Rivera get to you?"
"Rivera approached me with what he called an opportunity. Drop the Dalhart disappearances and help him flush Nissa out of her hiding place."
She cleared her throat.
"He promised me a closed case and a guaranteed promotion if I could. Reporting to him wasn't explicitly stated, but it was strongly implied. He's desperate for whatever your father left in that house. He shook his head.
It doesn't make sense. Sure, my father's research is valuable, but it's also highly illegal. Rivera should be distancing himself from it, not entrenching himself like he has. It's not as if the ability to replace human body parts with robotic elements is in high demand. Why all the conspiracy?
Maybe because he's ill?
Ellis started. What do you mean, ill?
He hides it well, but he has a tremor in his hand and relies far too much on his cane for a man his age. Something's eaten away at him, bite by bite.
Of course. The original purpose of my dad's research was to strengthen my body. This isn't good. Rivera's already a determined enough force when not powered by self-preservation.
Ellis hesitated, then lowered the gun. It wouldn't be pleasant, but he knew what he needed to do. O'Hara raised her eyebrows.
You're not going to shoot me.
Don't want to get my aristocratic hands soiled cleaning up a crime scene.
He let out a long breath.
Besides, I need you to take a message to your boss. Nis doesn't have what he wants, but I do. Tell Rivera I'll trade what I know about my father's research, which is pretty much everything, for Nissa's safety.
She rubbed her forehead. Just like that?
Nis is my world. It's not a hard choice.
Ellis drew a deep breath. O'Hara shifted from foot to foot, her eyes downcast.
What is it? Ellis asked.
When Rivera approached me, he made it clear that I might be able to close Nissa's case, but not because she'd go to trial. He's never intended to let her get out of this alive, and he won't let you live either, once he's gotten what he wants out of you. When I was convinced the young lady was a murderer, it seemed a fair trade. Another form of justice, even, but... Drat it all. I like you, Ellis. You're a good fellow. Her face darkened. And besides, Rivera knew I was in that steam car, and he still ordered it run off the road. I'm not going to be able to rest if he gets away with this now.
Ellis drummed his fingers on the arm of his chair. Okay. So do you have a better plan?
A grin crept over O'Hara's face. I just might.
Chapter 14
Nissa sat on the edge of a slowly widening hole in the floor and wiped her brow. She'd managed the delicate work of removing any live wires, but a big metal pipe still blocked her way.
How's it going?
Hart asked. She glanced up. The computer had been quiet for the last hour or so, though he gave her occasional reports on Rivera's and Ito's movements.
Good. Hopefully this won't take much longer. Just this last pipe and a layer of plaster in the way.
She poked around her satchel for a tool strong enough to cut through metal. Once I get through to the next floor, I should be able to sneak out of the manor. They will think I'm still in here if I'm quiet enough, so it won't be that hard to evade them.
You'll need to be careful.
I've done daylight burglaries once or twice, she smiled. Nothing I can't handle.
When you get out of the manor, then what?
His tone was somber. She tilted her head.
Find Ellis, I guess. Then we'll plan how to get back in here for you. Rivera's broken several laws. If we can convince the new Torrid police to go after him instead of me, we can get him out of the way and we'll be free to claim you.
Do you really want to bother, though?
Nissa's brow furrowed.
Of course. Hart, what's wrong?
It's just... When Ellis called, your whole countenance changed.
His monitor dimmed.
Nis, you light up for him in a way you don't for me. Why would you want a cheap copy of the man you love hanging around you when you have the real thing?
Hart, it's not like that. Even I admit... I'm not exactly sure what you are or how a computer can be so human without actually being human, but you've proven over and over again that there is more to you than simple programming.
She came to stand before him. Her own reflection smiled back at her from his screen.
That electric heart of yours is real somehow. I'm not going to leave you behind again.
Even you know I'm not really him. For one thing, you still call me Hart, not Ellis.
Well, calling you Ellis would just be confusing, she chuckled.
And what do you think Ellis will have to say about my existence?
Nissa shrugged.
He'll probably find you fascinating. He may want to pick your brain about your programming. Oh, sparks and shocks. Ellis having a conversation with himself. That'll be hilarious.
Hart laughed, but still in a minor key. Her heart twisting, Nyssa turned back to her project. This is a heavy-duty pipe. No electrical field. What do the house plans say this one is?
I'm not certain, Hart said. That must have been added in during Rivera's renovations, because it's not on the original plans. Best guess, it's a drain from the new washroom he added in. It's kind of coming from that general direction.
Well, if no one is using the washroom, the pipe should be mostly dry. I can cut it. She dug through the professor's tool closet. Aha! She triumphantly withdrew a long-handled pipe cutter. After clamping it in place around the pipe, she gave the handle a twist. The pipe moaned, buckled, then exploded in a burst of steam. Nyssa fell onto her rump. Shock me! A geyser of steam hissed from the pipe. Blast! Not a drain pipe! She crawled forward, trying to avoid the scalding vapor. Her peacoat lay nearby, so she snatched it up and wrapped it around the pipe. Thankfully, it was only a small crack. After she tied the coat into a knot, the steam dissipated. She shook her head. Huh. What now? Maybe try a few feet over. But blast, that's almost as bad as starting from scratch. I could try to clamp down on the pipe to keep the steam from escaping, but if it backs up with too much pressure, it could flat out explode in my face.
Looks like Rivera's got a guest. Someone just came in the front, but I don't recognize him.
I'm sure it's just another henchman. Nyssa sorted through her tools, looking for inspiration.
I doubt it. He's in a wheelchair.
Nyssa's blood turned to ice water. What? Show me. Hart switched his view to an image of the foyer. The video was from across the room, but she'd recognize him anywhere. Ellis, what are you thinking? She whispered. Please, please be careful.
Ellis wheeled into his father's study. Rivera's study now, he supposed. Memories ranging from pleasant to horrific flitted through his brain. He tried to force them quiet, to concentrate on the mission, but the familiar setting wouldn't allow it. The gas lamps glowed over the same wood paneling and high ceilings that he remembered from his boyhood, though the carpeting was different. Rivera had replaced Professor Dalhart's old-fashioned, simple furniture with more stylish modern pieces, one of them a dark leather armchair where Rivera sat, smiling at him. The door shut behind him with an ominous click. Ellis tried to ignore his pounding pulse.
This isn't a suicide mission. I'm going to get what I need, wait for O'Hara's signal, then get out alive.
Rivera leaned forward, his hands clasped atop his ebony cane.
You look well. I'd heard a rumor you'd been in an accident.
Ellis shrugged.
Minor inconvenience, though someone owes my lawyer a new steam car.
The metal of O'Hara's police-issue recording device felt cold against his skin. It was all he could do not to reach up and touch it through his shirt.
Steady. All I need is to get him to admit to something illegal. Kidnapping, attempted murder. I'd take tax evasion at this point, as long as it sends him to jail. So, to get the obvious out of the way, you're alive.
Rivera settled back comfortably, his legs crossed.
How'd you manage that? My father was mad, but his intent was always to improve my life. He went out of his way to keep me breathing, even at his furthest gone.
Does anyone else know about you?
A few folk. Enough that if I disappeared, there would be questions.
Ellis had spent the last hour or so seeing to that with Clarence's help.
My lawyer's been quietly setting things into motion for my return over the last few months.
The clock on the wall chimed four.
Dear Lord, let O'Hara be quick. I don't know how long I can keep Rivera busy.
Ellis cast what he hoped was a lazy glance around the room.
Love what you've done to the old place. I heard you paid a pretty penny for it.
Yes, I did, Rivera scowled.
I suppose I have you to thank for that. Nothing personal, just business. And your interest in Miss Glass?
A smile twitched at the corner of Ellis's mouth.
Well, that is personal.
Oh, really? Rivera raised an eyebrow.
With your injuries, I didn't think you'd be capable of such activities.
Heat rose under Ellis's collar.
That's even more personal. I'm not going to let him see me blink. If he's stooping to that level, he's feeling cornered. Is she even alive? If not, we have nothing to talk about.
Rivera raised his hand.
Calm down. Your felonious girlfriend is fine. For now. 20 minutes to get in, 20 to get out. Another 10 in case something goes wrong. I have to draw this out.
I have to wonder what you said to keep the police away from Dalhart Manor for all these years. Did you bribe and threaten the entire force?
You know my approach to business was always more pinpoint accuracy than broad strokes. Why grease all the palms when you can just discover what's important to one or two men and push down on those pressure points?
Rivera's hand wavered slightly, but he clenched down again on his cane, controlling the tremor.
O'Hara was right. Something's been bothering me for a while. My father had full run of this mansion, experimenting on his staff for months. He would have needed supplies, tools, and someone to keep away prying eyes.
Ellis narrowed his eyes.
At first I assumed you found out about his experiments after the fact. But no. For my father to get away with what he did for as long as he did, he would have had to have outside help.
Rivera scoffed.
Your father was a brilliant inventor. But he never had much mind for the practical side of things. I may have sponsored his activities for a bit. Didn't stop him from cutting me out towards the end. I think he suspected my motives.
Imagine that, Ellis scowled. My dad was fragile, half mad, crushed by the loss of his wife. He needed help, and instead you fed his darkness. And for what? To strengthen your own failing body?
Rivera recoiled. What do you mean?
The way your hand was shaking just now. Palsy?
Rivera's face reddened, then his mouth hardened.
Fool doctors. For all their modern medicine, they couldn't give me a diagnosis. Just snake oil and false hopes.
He leaned forward. Do you know why I'm a successful businessman, Dalhart? Because I'm ruthless. Because I don't tolerate weakness or idiocy. 90% of success is appearance. If a man can't control his own limbs, how is he supposed to govern a corporation?
He stood.
You should know more than most what it's like to have your body turn against you. I also know that sacrificing your soul to save your physical being is a fool's trade.
Throwing his head back, Rivera laughed.
Soul? Really? I would have thought your father would have raised a man of science. My father raised a man who saw what the unchecked pursuit of knowledge without the guidance of morality could result in, and how miserable it could be. I can accept that I will never walk again. I couldn't accept becoming a monster who would throw the lives of others away to further his own ends.
Ellis gripped the arms of his chair.
Rivera, stop and think. I don't know what you've been diagnosed with, but my father's research is not the answer. For one thing, he never perfected it. All his test subjects died. Terribly.
So I will perfect it.
Rivera stamped the floor with his cane.
And who are you going to experiment on? Yourself? Poor unwilling souls like my father did? I'll find a way.
Rivera's lips curled into a snarl. I have near unlimited resources, and for all your lofty speeches, you're still here. Presumably to give me what I want.
To save Nis, yes.
Ellis steadied himself. He had to stay focused.
So, how do we start?
Ellis barely suppressed a smile. This was the easiest way to stall Rivera.
Well, I suppose you could bring me a paper and pen, and I could write down everything I know about my father's work. Might take a while, but easiest way to convey information.
I suppose.
The door burst open behind them, and a small man with dark hair rushed in.
Are you all right, sir?
Rivera furrowed his brow.
Yes, why?
Bring her in, Jameson,
the small man called out the door. A burly man dragged in a struggling figure with her head covered in a burlap sack. Ellis's heart skipped several beats.
Blast you, O'Hara.
Jameson thrust O'Hara into an empty armchair and wrenched off her hood. Her face was bright red, and her hair stuck up at all angles, but she managed a glare that was more furious than flustered.
What is the meaning of this, Ito?
Rivera frowned.
You know Detective O'Hara is on our payroll.
She may be taking your money, sir, but the men caught her sneaking up the back stairs toward the workshop and lab. There's no way she could have known about that passage without someone familiar with the house tipping her off.
Ito nodded towards Ellis.
He got to her, I'm guessing.
Ellis shrugged.
I've never seen this woman before in my life.
Now, that's a lie. She told us herself she was traveling with you.
Rivera narrowed his eyes at O'Hara.
And I thought you were a practical woman, detective. What did you hope to gain from this double-cross?
What did you hope to gain from running a car off the road with me inside? She practically spat at him.
So, what was the plan? She sneaks in and frees your little girlfriend while you keep me busy here? Rivera asked. Do you even have the information I need? Oh, I do, but you'll never see it.
Ellis eased his hand towards the secret compartment where his revolver rested.
It's over, Rivera. O'Hara called in your attempt to have us killed. Any moment now, the new Torrid police will swarm this place.
Rivera snorted. You're bluffing. Of course it was a bluff, but Ellis just needed to buy a few more seconds.
No, he's not. We only came here first to make sure Nissa was safe.
I was supposed to get to the room where she was being held and keep an eye on her, while Ellis distracted you until my fellow officers arrived. O'Hara crossed her arms.
You're done for, Rivera.
Ellis drew his revolver and aimed it at Rivera.
Sir!
Ito shouted. Ito dodged toward Ellis. Ellis instinctively pulled the trigger. A blast jerked up his arm, sending his ears ringing. Ito faltered. With a groan, he sank to his knees, his hands clutching his shoulder. Before Ellis could regroup, Jameson rushed across the room and wrenched the gun from his hand. Rivera stared from Ito to Ellis and back again.
Ito? He asked, his voice cold. It's all right, but I need to stop the bleeding.
Ito pulled his hand from a swiftly blossoming stain of red on his shirt.
There should be some bandages in the washroom. Nice try, Dalhart. But it didn't amount to anything, and I'm more certain than ever the police aren't about to come knocking at my door.
Rivera sat back down in his chair, apparently not in a hurry to get Ito patched up.
Maybe not immediately, but they will.
Ellis's pulse still sounded in his ears from the adrenaline of the gunshot.
People know I came here. If I don't return, they'll come looking. O'Hara likewise made it clear where she was headed. The son of your business partner, recently returned from the grave or not, and a police detective disappear after stating their intent to visit you. They'll tear this place apart looking. And I left word with Clarence Vanderpool about just where to find Nissa. She's in the old lab, and from my understanding you can't get in after her. When the police arrive, they'll find her. And they'll want to know exactly why you've been keeping a 17-year-old girl locked in your attic.
He watched Rivera for a reaction, but the man didn't flinch.
They'll want to know where O'Hara and I are, and maybe you'll be able to hide our bodies well enough that they won't find us, but I doubt it.
You're right. Rivera tapped his fingers on his cane, his lips pursed, but his face otherwise placid.
Sir, if you don't mind, Ito said, his voice strained. I would like to take care of this wound. Wait a moment, Ito. I'm constructing a narrative.
Rivera leaned closer.
Miss Glass is a known thief. She wasn't a captive, but rather an intruder. She was interrupted in her larceny by Ito and Detective O'Hara, both of whom she sadly killed.
Ito started, his already pale face contorting in pain and shock.
Don't act so surprised, Ito. You know far too much about my business, and from the string of recent failures I've tolerated from you, I think your usefulness is at an end. Now, where was I? Oh, yes.
Rivera stood and paced, swinging his cane back and forth.
Thankfully, we managed to capture Miss Glass using the house security systems, which included an automatic release of poisonous gas if certain rooms are breached. Such a shame, but her life of crime always merited a sticky end.
Ellis's jaw clenched.
If you kill Nissa, you'll never get what you want. Oh, but I have you. Interrogating a computer is difficult, but a human? No matter how determined you are to remain silent, a dose of scopolamine and you'll spill everything. I only need to keep you alive for a little longer, and this house has many places I can hide you while the police deal with three dead bodies and a messy crime scene.
Rivera smiled.
I think I'll take care of your little girlfriend first. Jameson, guard the door. Make sure they stay put until I return. Yes, sir, the burly man nodded.
Rivera swept out, followed by Jameson, who shut the door behind him. Ito moaned.
O'Hara, try to figure out a way out of here.
Ellis pulled off his jacket and slid out of his chair. Sitting on the floor beside Ito, he ripped open Ito's shirt and pushed the wadded-up jacket against the wound. Ito cried out. O'Hara rattled the door.
Quit it,
Jameson barked from the other side.
You'll be okay.
Ellis frowned at Ito.
Just put pressure on it. O'Hara, we need to move.
I'm trying! The detective tore around the room, banging on walls. Ellis, we may need another plan.
Are there really police coming?
Ito asked through clenched teeth.
Ellis shook his head. It was a bluff.
Ito pointed towards a wall.
There's the video phone behind that panel. Rivera uses a combination to access it, which he assumes only he knows.
He laughed, but it turned into a cough.
He was right about one thing. I do know too much about his business. The code is 4732. Call for help.
O'Hara raced for the panel.
Will they get here in time?
Ellis asked. To save us? Maybe. O'Hara glanced at him.
To save Nyssa? I doubt it.
Ellis's head spun. What was Rivera going to do? There had to be a way to stop him.
Oh, dear Lord, I've only made things worse. Please protect Nyssa for me. I'm such an idiot.
Chapter 15
Nyss, Rivera's coming,
Hart shouted. Nyssa gasped and backed away from the monitor. What's he going to do? She asked.
I'm not sure. We need to get you out of here. Let me open the door.
She snatched up her satchel and hurried into the office. Metal groaned as the magnetic locks released. The door started to slide open. With a bang and a clank, a shot ricocheted off the metal door. Nyssa gasped and flattened herself against the wall. The door snapped shut again.
Blast! Rivera's got a man out there with a gun, Hart said.
It's okay. I'll go through the floor. Returning to the lab, Nyssa threw herself at the hole in the floor. She wrenched up another board. Another complicated nest of wires lay beneath. She pushed at them, trying to make the space big enough to slip through. Sparks snapped at her.
He's in the workshop.
Hart's display changed to that camera feed. One of Rivera's henchmen wheeled out a barrel with a metal rod attached. They fitted the rod into the hole in the door between the workshop and the office. Nyssa's stomach clenched. I'll have to be quick. She shut the door between the lab and the office, hoping it would buy her some time, flipped her goggles to field detection, and started working through the wires. She clipped restrictors around one bundle, sliced into them, then moved on to another. Soon there was a small gap where she could see the plaster from the ceiling below them. She chipped at it with the crowbar.
Nyss, look, Hart said.
A greenish vapor, like a bank of fog, was already seeping under the door. She bit her lip, then returned to her hacking. To her frustration, a layer of wooden paneling lay beneath the plaster. Her eyes smarted, and a scent like rotten eggs burned her nose and throat. She yanked her shirt over the lower half of her face, trying not to breathe too deeply. The green gas pooled around her, until she could no longer see into her excavation to work.
The gas is coming too quickly. We need another plan, Hart said.
She glanced at the monitor. Rivera himself held the metal rod that fed the gas into the room. Nyssa's vision wavered. The gas is low to the ground, heavier than air. If I can get higher, it might buy me some time. Nyssa scrambled onto the table. The air was clearer here. She managed a few steadying breaths before reaching for the exposed beams of the ceiling. Even with the chair on top of the table, she couldn't quite reach. Nor would there be much to hold on to once she did get there. Her eyelids felt heavy, and tears ran down her cheeks.
Oh, God. I know I shouldn't fear death, but I don't want to die yet. There's so much I wanted to do, with Ellis mostly, but... Please, I'm so dizzy.
Nyssa's legs gave out beneath her. She leaned against the wall. The gas now tickled the edge of the table. Heavy fumes grabbed her by the throat.
If only I hadn't gone to that stupid meeting in the hangar. Oh, Ellis, I wish you could forgive me for that. We could have been so happy together.
Nyss, don't fall asleep. You have to fight this, Hart pleaded.
I'm sorry, Hart. This isn't your fault.
She coughed. Reaching into her pocket, she found the handheld and flipped it open.
At least I can say goodbye.
The screen crackled to life. Ellis's beloved eyes stared at her, wide and frightened.
Nyss, are you all right?
In spite of her situation, Nyssa smiled.
He's so handsome. I never told him enough, but at least I told him. I'm sorry, Ellis. I'm getting so... sleepy.
She was vaguely aware that her words ran together, or perhaps her hearing wasn't working quite right. It felt as if someone had stuffed cotton through her ears into her brain.
I just wanted to hear your voice one more time.
Hold on. For me, please, hold on.
Ellis's voice cracked.
We're trying to get help. I'm so close. Please, Nyss, you can't leave me.
Her vision became as foggy as the gas nipping at her heels. The agony in Ellis's voice stirred something in her soul, a sharp pain that fought against the swiftly growing stupor.
I love you so much,
she whispered, as the handheld slipped from her grasp.
Nyss!
Ellis and Hart's voices joined in a single cry. She tried to sit up, knowing that the lower she lay, the quicker death would come, but her body sank onto the wood of the table.
"Nis, please wake up," Hart begged.
Nissa wanted to comfort him, but her words turned into another cough.
"I love you, Nis." The computer gave a hissing sigh. "Please tell him to take care of you for me."
Lights flashed. Something popped and fizzed, sending sparks across the room. Nissa screamed, curling into herself. A breath of air tickled her face, a draft from somewhere. She tried to sit up, but her head spun, and she fell into darkness.
Chapter 16.
The lights flickered. Ellis stared into the handheld, but the screen had gone black.
"What was that?"
O'Hara frowned. Ito moaned and pulled himself to his feet.
"I'm not sure."
Pounding feet echoed outside the study.
"Jameson!" a voice shouted. "The boss is dead!"
Ellis started. Ito and O'Hara exchanged a confused look.
"What? How?"
Jameson voiced what Ellis was thinking.
"I don't know. He was pumping gas into that girl's prison, and then it was like the room exploded. Lightning shot through the door. It fried him. I was standing a few feet back, and my hair was still singed."
"Well, what do we do?
If he's dead, we ain't getting paid. I say grab what we can and get out of here."
O'Hara turned her attention to the door, running into it with her shoulder. Ellis swallowed, trying to sort the confusion, fear, and hope that warred in his mind.
"Wait. There's something Nissa taught me once. Do you have a hairpin?"
O'Hara nodded. Ellis reseated himself in his chair and wheeled to the door.
"Oh, God, please let her be all right somehow. Please."
He picked the lock at a speed Nissa would have been proud of and rolled into the empty hallway. No sign of Jameson or any of Rivera's other heavies.
"Let's get to the elevator."
A hand clamped down on Ellis's arm. He looked up into O'Hara's pinched face.
"Ellis, whatever you find up there,"
she exhaled.
"I'm sorry I failed you. Failed her. But please, you shouldn't go alone. Not without knowing what you'll find."
"Then come if you want, but we need to go fast."
As they hurried down the hall, Ellis regretted that he'd never adjusted his chair to be able to go much beyond a walking pace. It just hadn't been a practical need.
"Seriously, I'm going to fix that when we get through with this."
The doors of the elevator clanged shut. Something had blown out the automatic control, but the hand-powered crank his father had installed as a backup still worked. Still, this further delay ate at Ellis.
"Here, let me," O'Hara offered.
"I've got this," Ellis snapped.
She recoiled. He steadied himself.
"I'm stronger than I look, all right. When you only have your arms, they get... I got this."
She nodded and backed away. Ellis grasped the crank and put all his frustration into getting them to the top floor. The rusty gears groaned and creaked. When they reached the top, Ellis propelled himself out the door. Half the lights in the workshop had all been blown out, and brown lines marked where the wiring had once been. The metal door to the laboratory and office sat open, and before it lay a body. Ellis didn't give Rivera's corpse a second glance, though O'Hara stooped over him to check for a pulse. He hurried into the office, then the lab. Shattered glass crunched under his wheels, and a small fire flickered within the broken monitor of the main computer. His eyes smarted at the trace of gas still remaining in the room, though most seemed to have dissipated through the open doors.
"Nis,"
he called. Ellis cast a desperate glance around the room. He found her curled into a bundle on top of the table. Ellis pulled her off the table onto his lap. She lay limp against him, still warm to the touch, but so terrifyingly still. His heart pounded as he pressed his lips against hers, searching for breath. His fingers caressed her neck, desperate for a pulse.
"Nis! Nis! Please say something!"
A weak heartbeat throbbed beneath her skin like the tick of a watch in a pocket. Relief swept through him. Somewhere in the distance, a klaxon sounded. O'Hara rushed into the room.
"The police are here. Is she..."
"She needs a doctor."
Ellis rolled past O'Hara, still gripping Nissa to his chest. O'Hara nodded.
"We can have an ambulance take her to the hospital."
"No, she won't get the best care. Call Clarence. Have him get his private physician to set up a room."
A glint caught Ellis's eye. His breath caught in his throat as he took Nissa's tiny hand and stared at the ring glistening on her finger.
"The police are going to want to question her," O'Hara said.
"The police can go shock themselves," Ellis scowled. "I'm taking her home."
Nissa's head ached, and her mouth tasted as if she'd been chewing on metal shavings. But pain meant life. Another sensation invaded her consciousness. A cold trickle, almost like water running down her throat, but not choking her. Something pressed against her face. She flailed out and pulled it away. The cold flow stopped. Her eyelashes weighed against her cheeks, but she somehow forced them open. She was gripping a rubber suction cup attached to a tube. Oxygen streamed from it. For a moment, everything blended together. Then her vision focused, and she found herself lying on a bed with pillows plumped beneath her shoulders. The room was clean and bright, with blue linen curtains and a cherry-wood wardrobe.
"Nis?"
She turned her head at the familiar voice and stared. Ellis sat at her side, his eyes wide.
"Ellis?"
she whispered. He gripped her hand.
"Thank God you're up. The doctor said you'd be all right, but I still couldn't help but worry."
He leaned over and kissed her. The warmth of his touch enlivened her, and she struggled to sit upright.
"Easy," he cautioned. "You've been out for hours."
"How did I get here? What happened to Rivera?" His brows furrowed.
"You don't know? Well, something triggered an electrical feedback that channeled through the metal doors of the laboratory, down the tube he was pumping the gas through, like it was a lightning rod. It killed him. I couldn't tell what triggered the surge, so I assumed you did it somehow."
"I didn't." She tried to sit up, but dizziness overcame her. "What happened? That flash of light? Heart! Oh, no!"
The computer?" she stammered. "What happened to the computer?"
"The computer? It was blown out when I got to the lab."
Ellis's frown deepened with worry.
"The surge must have fried it. Why? What was on the computer?"
She shook her head, suddenly feeling numb. "Hart did it. Of course. But he had to know what it would do to him." The computer's last words flitted through her memory. "Oh, Hart, I'm so sorry."
"Hey, don't cry. Nis, what's wrong?"
Ellis stroked her cheek. She managed to get her arms about his neck and bury her face against his chest.
It's a long story. Oh, Ellis, I missed you so much. I was so stupid, and it... Oh, Ellis!"
A sob forced its way up her throat. She shuddered, trying to push it down, but her body still felt weak, easy prey for her ravaged emotions. Her fingers found his dark, wavy hair as his lips connected to hers, and she held on for dear life.
"How can I even explain about Hart? Hart who wasn't him, but was somehow?"
She'd have to tell him, but not now. Now she'd returned to Ellis, and she needed to concentrate on that gift. They kissed again. He eased his lips onto her cheek, then her neck, then withdrew to look her in the eye. Twining his fingers around hers, he brought his hand up and smiled.
"I noticed you're wearing the ring."
She flushed.
"Yes, I sort of found it. I hope that's all right."
"More than all right," he cleared his throat. "Does that mean what I think it means?"
"I'm pretty sure it does."
She managed a weak smile. Ellis laughed.
"Blast! I've been engaged this whole time and I didn't even realize it. If you don't mind..."
He slipped the ring off her finger. As strange as it had felt when she'd first put it on, her finger already felt naked without it. He rested his forehead against hers.
"It's a glass. Will you be my wife?"
She nodded, her emotions grabbing her by the throat.
"Yes,"
she heard herself squeak. A grin blossomed on Ellis's face, and he slid the ring back onto her finger. Happiness rose like a fire in her breast, and in spite of everything she'd been through, she laughed.
"And I mean now," Ellis continued. "Or if not now, as soon as legally possible. I don't want to wait another heartbeat. Nissa, my Nis, please?"
"Yes," she whispered into his ear, savoring the shiver that ran through him. "Yes to all of it."
"Good. I'll have Clarence, that's my lawyer, you'll love him, make the legal arrangements. I bet he can get us an expedited license. He's clever that way."
Nissa's stomach twisted at the mention of the legal system.
"But I'm wanted here. There's evidence that I'm innocent. Rivera had it. We have to find it."
"Shh."
He held up his hand.
"It's all right. O'Hara, she's working with us now, long story, called me about an hour ago and said they found tapes in Rivera's study, practically gift-wrapped. She thinks Ito must have taken them out of the safe as a final parting shot to Rivera, though we can't ask him because he somehow vanished into thin air before the police arrived at the manor."
"Ito?"
Is he on our side, too? Her head felt like rusty gears, barely keeping up. What else did I miss while I was out?
Well, as soon as the doctor assured me you were going to be all right, I sent a telegram to San Azula. Mrs. H. and Theo were worried sick when I left them, so I wanted to let them know that you were all right.
He eased a stray lock of hair away from her eyes.
I can't believe I almost lost you.
Nissa started to smile, but it caught in her throat.
I sort of feel like I did lose you. Alice, there's something about the computer I need to tell you.
Chapter 17.
Nissa stirred, savoring the cool comfort of the pillow beneath her head. The aches plaguing her body had melted away like heated wax, and she just wanted to melt away with them. Ellis's arm snaked around her waist, pulling her against him. He pushed back her hair and kissed the nape of her neck. A shiver cut through her.
"Good morning, Mrs. Dalhart," he whispered.
She laughed and rolled over to embrace him.
"Good morning, Mr. Dalhart."
They kissed until she needed to come up for breath. Nissa found Ellis's hand and his long fingers entwined with hers.
"Do you think we'll ever be able to recover Hart?" she asked.
His smile faded.
"The surge wiped out all the data on the computers, Hart's program included. I'm sorry. I know you bonded with him over the last few days, but he's gone."
Her heart ached, and she closed her eyes.
"I feel so guilty. He gave his life for me."
"Was he technically alive, though?"
Ellis stroked her face.
"He was basically a recording of my personality from what you've told me, not an individual in his own right."
"He felt real." She sniffed back tears. "And he's gone."
Ellis kissed her forehead. Safe in his arms, she allowed herself to cry. He ran his hands up and down her back.
"Nis, I don't know if Hart was real or simply a convincing technological trick, but he was real to you. And I'm so, so sorry you had to lose a friend like that."
His eyes caught hers in a steady gaze.
"However, I know one thing. You have nothing to feel guilty about. Hart wouldn't blame you for what happened, and he did it willingly, fully understanding the consequences."
"How do you know?" she asked.
"Because he was a copy of me. If my options were living without you or dying for you, dying would be the only possible choice."
He squeezed her closer.
"I'd have done the same thing as Hart, had our places been reversed."
"No, you're not allowed to die for me."
She grabbed him by the hair and pulled him down for another kiss. "You'd better not leave me alone here."
"I wouldn't dare."
His lips slipped from her mouth to her cheek, then neck. A pleasant shiver cut through her being. He laughed and rose up to his elbows, his eyes twinkling.
"Besides, wouldn't you go crazy having two of me around the house?"
"Never."
Nissa shook her head. She nestled against Ellis, savoring his touch. Perhaps he was right, and Hart was only an echo of Ellis himself. Still, she'd never forget the computer and all he'd done for her. Her stomach grumbled.
"We should order breakfast."
Ellis rolled away from her to where his chair rested beside the bed.
"Clarence said we could eat in our room if we wanted."
Nissa rose and slipped on a dressing gown as Ellis used the video phone to call down to the kitchen. Soon, two maids brought in a folding table and a tray of coffee and muffins. Nissa sat across the table from Ellis and inhaled the steam from her cup.
"Almost as good as Mrs. H.'s."
Ellis took a bite of muffin, swallowed, then chuckled.
"I'm worried about what the old girl will do to us when she finds out we got married without her there."
Nissa laughed. "We could pretend we didn't, then have another ceremony with her in attendance."
"Oh, she's too wily for us to pull that off. I'm sure she'll know the moment she lays eyes on us. We need to make arrangements to bring her and Theo from San Azula. She has family on the continent. I think she'll be willing to relocate. Hopefully. I don't want to lose her."
Nissa started.
"Are we staying then?"
"We kind of have to."
He pushed his hair back from his forehead.
"Things will be a little different going forward. With Rivera gone, Dalhart Sans Rivera Incorporated is my responsibility. It's more than just a corporation. It's the livelihood of hundreds of factory workers, repairmen, and shop owners."
"You're right. That's important."
A tinge of doubt crept into her happiness.
"I'm not sure how to be a millionaire's wife. What will I do?"
"Whatever you want. I'm sure the boardroom and the bottom line will take up a lot of my time at first. But once I've gotten some good employees in the right positions, I hope to be able to delegate that and hand off the running of the corporation to more experienced, qualified hands. I'm an inventor, not a businessman. Maybe we can work together, in a shop, making the next generation of technology.
I'd like that.
It will be an adjustment for both of us.
We'll get through it. She reached across the table to take his hand. Together.
Together.
He smiled, his brown eyes sparkling. She dropped her gaze. Her heart quivered like a taut wire. So, what next generation of technology do you plan to master first?
I was thinking about an automated dishwasher.
Nissa grinned. Mrs. H will love that. Do you think he'll use water jets or brushes?
Probably both.
And it will need to be made of rust-proof metal and lightweight.
Of course.
He rubbed his thumb across the back of her hand.
Do you know how attractive you are when you talk like that? As eager as I am to work on the next generation of technology with you, I'm even more excited to work on the next generation of Dalharts.
Her face warmed. It's going to be a good life for us, isn't it?
Yes.
He guided her around the table and into his lap for a gentle kiss.
It is.
The End.
This has been Nissa Glass and the Electric Heart, Book 5 in the Nissa Glass Steampunk series. Written by H.L. Burke, narrated by Mary Ann Weathers. Copyright 2017 by H.L. Burke. Production copyright 2019 by Heidi Lynn Burke.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.